Amen. Thank you, Judy. Open your Bibles here this morning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're getting down to the end here in this book. It's been a rich study for us in God's Word in 2 Thessalonians. We've covered a lot here in these few chapters here, three chapters, but it's a very rich book. As Paul kind of draws things to a close here this morning, I'd like to speak to the message titled, Living as Kingdom People, Living as Kingdom People. Verse 13 says, But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we join in prayer, Father, we have this passage before us, and Father, I pray that you would guide our thoughts here this morning through your Holy Spirit. Father, your word speaks with authority, and your word is the holy word of God, the scripture, the breathed-out word of God. And Father, we thank you for you being the almighty God that's created heaven and earth and sea, and all there is been made by thy great power and wisdom. And Father, I pray that you bless this word to our hearts. And Father, help me be a vessel that honors your Son and honors your word and brings glory to your holy name. So bless us as we gather around your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a Pastor Cole, he told this story. There was time management seminar, and a fellow was teaching, and he had all these young executives out before him, and he got a glass jar in front, had a wide rim on it, and he filled it full of rocks, and he asked the students, can I get anything more in this jar? And he filled this as full as he could, full of big rocks, and they said, no, it's full. And he said, wait a minute. So then he took some gravel that was a little small and poured it in. He said, now, can I get anything more in it? Well, they were on to him. They said, yeah, you can get some more in it. So then he took some sand and poured it in this glass jar. And they were really on top of him now. He said, can I get anything more in it? They said, yeah. So then he took water and poured it in there. And he said, class, why did I do this? And one aspiring young executive said, I know why. No matter how busy you are, you can always get one more thing done if you crowd it in. He said, absolutely not. You missed the whole point. He said, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in later. What are the big rocks? Ah, that's the question. If you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in later. That was his point. In the Christian life, what are the big rocks? What's the most important things? Thou shalt love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as what? And love yourself. That's the big rocks. Put them in the jar first. Do you know what I'm saying? Because if you don't put them in first, guess what happens? The urgent things of life push out the big rocks. There's so much other stuff that fits into our container in life. And we keep pouring it full, and we say, look how full it is. But if God was to look at our life and say, where are the big rocks at? Where are the most important things at? Your jar may be full. See, somebody once worded it like this. The tyranny of the urgent. What does that mean? It means the urgent things are always commanding our attention and our time. But the most important things sometimes get neglected. Because we have all many urgent things in front of us that need our attention. You know, Paul, as he brings us down for a closing here, he looks at the Thessalonian believers in just a few words, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Not just doing, not just being busy, not just doing whatever you like, but well-doing. Well, that kind of begs the question, what does well-doing mean? Who defines what well-doing is? God does. See, just because you have an agenda for your life, if it lines up with what God wants for your life, you're well-doing. But if you have an agenda for your life and that's not what God wants for your life, then you're not well-doing. See, God is the one that defines what well-doing is. Be not weary in well-doing. God wants us to be doing the right things in the right way, at the right time, with the right motives, with the right results for his glory. And Paul makes it very clear here in verse 13, but ye brethren, he's speaking to believers, not unbelievers, people that know and love God have been saved and sanctified and called by his name. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. You know, he touches upon that word weary there. And what makes life so hard sometimes? Like one fellow said, it's so daily. That's what makes life hard. It hits you every day. You got to get up and get moving and keep life going. It's so daily. But Paul wants us as believers not to be weary, not to throw in the towel, not to give up, not to relax and step back and say, well, somebody else can do it. I used to, but I don't now. I'm just weary. If you have a car sometimes, you can have a crack in a piece of metal. It's called metal fatigue. Car vibrations shake for a long time. After a while, a piece of your car can just break in half because it's just flexed so long. Metal fatigue, it can just snap apart. But, you know, there can be spiritual fatigue, too, where we've been in the battle and we've been doing the Christian life and we can get fatigued or spiritually just weary, and we have just been at it for so long, we just tend to just to sit down and not be motivated to do much for God. Well, Paul has two words for you when it comes to weariness. Be not weary. Now, how can I in my Christian life not be weary? Because it is a struggle to be a godly Christian person in this culture. It is a struggle. And we can get weary. But Paul's encouraging us here through the inspiration of don't be weary. Now, there's some very practical matters that God gives to us. Weariness. If you're weary in your spiritual life, there could be some real reasons. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, guess what that sin's going to do to you? That's going to be a burden you carry around day after day. Now, I shared this story before. I remember years ago, I was a youngster, like 16 or something, and we had a ceiling in our living room in our home. There was a roof leak, and it got the plaster wet, and the plaster fell down. After it got wet, and we had to fix the ceiling. So I didn't know much about fixing ceilings, but I knew that you get the stuff in this bucket, and you kind of spread it around, and you smooth it out. I didn't know much about it, but hey, I was going to fix the ceiling. So it's called joint compound. And I remember going to the store, and this place where I purchased it at was a building supply place. We had a lot of buildings, wood in one building, plumbing stuff. And I parked over in the parking lot, but the building I had to go to was way far away. So I walked over, found the right building, told him what. And it was a 5-gallon bucket. And he said, do you want us to get you a hand cart to take your car? I said, no, I'll take it with me. Do you know how heavy a 5-gallon bucket of joint compound when you walk about 100 yards with it is? I said to myself, why in the world did I get a hand truck for this thing? It was killing me. But, you know, I wasn't going to let that guy know that it was killing me because I just told him I could carry it, you know. I got weary carrying that thing. You know what sin is to you? If you carry that sin around in your heart day after day, you know what you're doing? You're carrying weight that you didn't need to carry. And that's going to make you weary spiritually because you're carrying something around that God says if you confess it and forsake it, God will bless you. You don't want to carry unconfessed sin around. It's going to be a weight that's going to wear you out. And you don't want to be carrying unconfessed sin. Be not weary. What else makes us weary in the Christian life? One is unconfessed sin. Two is not keeping our priorities right. Now, in this chapter here, God talks us about going to work. And he says here in verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any should not work, neither should they eat. Is that pretty clear? That's pretty clear. But you know what some people do? They take that verse to an extreme, and they're called workaholics. Okay? They work night and day. They'll be just working. The sun's gone down, and they'll be out with a flashlight, just keep working and working and working. But if you don't begin your day with God, and you don't end your day with God, and you don't have God in the middle of your day, you just don't have God any time in your day because you're a workaholic, you know what's going to happen to your Christian life? You're going to get weary because you are not taking in nourishment. Now, in your physical body, if you stop eating, how strong are you going to be? You're going to get weak after a while if you don't eat. Spiritually, what happens to you if you're not taking in God's word? You're going to get weak. And then you get weary, and then you start doing and saying things you ought not to, because spiritually, you've gotten where your priorities are wrong. Now, Artemas, he had three things in his life, he said. And he actually wrote a book on it. But these three things, how he governed his life. He said, I give God the first part of each day. I give God the first part of each week. What is that? The Lord's Day, the first day. He said, I give God the first part of each dollar. What is that? Tithing. He said, I start my day with God. I worship God once a week on the Lord's Day. And I tithe of what God blessed me with. Now, is that some priorities to live your life by? Sure. And see, if you don't have priorities how you're going to live your life, you're going to get weary in your Christian life because you're not doing the things God would have you do. Your priorities are mixed up. One, unconfessed sin. Two, wrong priorities. And what else will get you weary in life? Well, look down in verse 14 here. What else will get you weary? And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have what? No company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, there's a double benefit to that. One, he may be ashamed. But somebody, now, what's that? What kind of man is that referring to in verse 14? It's referring to one that would not work. Now, people that are able-bodied and will not work, what do you call those kind of people? Okay, lazy? They're lazy, but it's even bigger than just being lazy. They just don't want to take responsibility. If you hang around with lazy, irresponsible people night and day, how is that going to affect your Christian life if that's your circle of friends? Is it going to pull you up or pull you down? It's going to pull you down. And you've got to be careful who you so. It's a double blessing in verse 14. One, now, Paul makes it very clear in the next verse, they're not an enemy, and you admonish him as a brother. You love him, you do your best you can with them, but you don't hang around with these kind of people. Because if you hang around with people that are not responsible, it's going to pull you down. It's going to make you weary in your Christian life. There's an old saying, birds of a feather what? Flock together. And if you're running around with people that are irresponsible, that don't take care of themselves or others, it's going to affect your testimony, how other people see you too. So you don't want to be in this position where you're getting weary because you're not hanging around people that lift you up. If you want to be wise, I tell you how, it's really simple. If you want to be a wise person, just get around people that are wiser than yourself. It helps you. Okay, it really does. You find people that know more the Word of God than you do. You find people that are wiser in whatever profession you are, and you're going to be a better person for that. You listen to people that have their act together and know where they're going and what they're doing for God, and you be around those kind of people, and they're going to help you. But if you hang around people in verse 14 that don't obey the Word, they don't listen to God. They don't care about what God says. I'm going to live my life my way. It's going whatever pleases me. I don't want to work today. I don't want to get up. And in Proverbs, it talks about a lazy man's like a door. How is a lazy man like a door? He lays on his bed, and it's just like a door hinge. He turns this way. He turns this way, back and forth all day long. He's just laying in bed, just like a door hinge, going back and forth, just rolling from one side to another. And God says, don't be like that. You know, God is very clear here for us as believers. He doesn't want us to be weary internally because of unconfessed sin, externally because we're hanging around people that we shouldn't. We need to have right priorities, too, in our Christian life. The big rocks. What's most important in our lives? You know what the benefit is when we have right priorities and we're living right for God? And we're hanging around the right people. We're learning and growing in grace. Because God just doesn't want us to be worrying while doing. Now, with that being said, is there coming a day of rest for the people of God? Is there coming a day? Okay, there is. Until that day gets here, guess what God wants us to do? He said, pray unto the Lord of what? The harvest, that he will what? Send forth laborers into what? The harvest. It's a harvest field, and we're laborers. And if you hire somebody to work in your field, do you want them sitting down under the shade tree hour after hour? While you want them to work. And if we're laborers for God, he wants us to work for him, the Lord of the harvest. Right now, we're laborers. But one day, there's coming a day of rest for us as God's people. Be not weary in well-doing. You know, I'll share this with you as far as not being weary. When you have your devotions and you read about the great things of God and you're reading the scriptures, sometimes with devotions, you don't learn anything new because you've read this passage before. You don't really get new information. But I'll say this, when you get a bath, when you take a bath at home, what does a bath give you? Think about it for a minute. What does it give you? It really takes away the filth. And sometimes devotion is nothing more than just getting the cleansing. You're being clean on the inside. And God is working in your life. But that keeps us from being weary because it refocuses our priorities. We have the example of Scripture of our Lord Jesus and how he lived. And we get encouragement from the saints of God in Hebrews 11. God doesn't want us to be weary because there's coming a day of rest. And as long as we're being energized by the Lord and by his word and by his Holy Spirit, we can keep our spiritual attitudes where they need to be. Well, what's the blessing if we're doing these things? We're not growing weary, but we're keeping the right priorities. We're confessing our sins. We have the right priorities. We're not hanging around the wrong people. We're seeking God's face day by day. Look at verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself will give you what? Peace. You ever think about that? See, that's the benefit of being in verse 13 and 14 and 15 and all through 2 Thessalonians and all the scripture here. Now the God of peace himself will give you peace. When you're living right and you're weary, and when you go put your head on the pillow at night and you've done a good day's work for God and you've been faithful in raising your children and you've done what you need to do as a father and providing for your family and you lay your head down on the pillow, you have sweet rest because you're happy in your side and you're content and you know God is pleased with what I've done with him and you sleep well. But if you lay your head on your pillow and you think about sins that you've done that you haven't made right with God, you think about having the wrong priorities, so you missed church and you were working and earning all this extra money, but you were forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. As you think about the people you're hanging around with that don't love God and don't obey the word of God, you know, you're going to have a troubled spirit if you know God, because God's spirit's going to be stirring you and it's going to be convicting you, and you're going to rob yourself of the peace that only God can give to you. Now, in verse 14, this is a reality for us as believers. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, there's people out there that do not recognize the authority of the word of God and will not obey it. And we have to live with people in this world like that. And how we're to treat them. We admonish them. We don't count them as an enemy. We admonish them. We warn them. We try to tell them the right way. And sometimes that's hard to do as believers. Cain said one time, when God asked him, where's your brother at? He said, am I my brother's keeper? As a believer, are we our brother's keeper? Do we look out for one another? What's one of the big rocks? Thou shalt love your neighbor as what? Love yourselves. That's one of the big rocks. That's one of the most important things. And if we care about people, sometimes verse 15 can get a little ugly here. Because some people that they're not obeying the word and you have to deal with them, but it's a needful thing. But as you move from 14 and 15 into 16, God says, you know, I see what you're doing. You're doing a good job. You're warning this brother, this sister that's not living right. I see that. And when you lay your head down on your pillow at night, God said, I can give you that peace that passes all understanding. What you've done is good in my sight. And you'll have that blessing and that presence of God going with you in your life. You can have that peace at the center of your being. Now, the Lord of peace himself will give you peace. How many times? Always. Because God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Give you peace always by all means. And what's the promise? The Lord be with you all. You know, Paul, as he brings us to a closing here, there's some very practical things for us as believers. And we want to be kingdom men and women, people that have the kingdom of God ruling in our hearts. Now, turn here for a verse here in Matthew. And many of you can quote this verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, But seek ye first, that's priorities, the kingdom of God, that's putting God first, and his righteousness, living holy lives, and all these things shall be added unto you, the blessings of internal, external blessings, that God can give us that internal peace, the external blessings of God's provision for us. But what's our motive here? But seek ye first. We gotta be seeking and prioritizing the kingdom of God. Now, when that little phrase, the kingdom of God, is said, what does that imply? If there's a kingdom of God, there is a what? King. And who's the king? King Jesus Christ. And if he's our king and we're part of the kingdom of God, then we are subject to him. And how do you know if you're part of the kingdom of God? Well, how do you know if you're part? In verse 14 of 2 Thessalonians 3, if any man obey not our word, that guy in verse 14 is not part of the kingdom of God. The king is not ruling in his heart. He's not part of God's kingdom as letting the king rule over him. But verse 13, but ye brethren, those that obey God, those that walk with him, those that let the Lord Jesus be king in their lives, that put him on the throne of their hearts, they take themselves off the throne of their hearts. They put Jesus Christ on the throne of their hearts. But ye brethren, those that are spirit-filled and sanctified, be not weary in well-doing. And God wants us to seek him first, the right priority, the kingdom of God, that God's kingdom rules in our hearts, that we obey the great king, the king of kings and the lord of lords. That is what God would have us do. The blessing of that? That peace that follows. The blessing of that, God is going to be with us. We're not on our own. And verse 18 says, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And God's grace, his unmerited favor, he gives to us. The Christian life is an impossible life without God in your life. You cannot live it apart from the grace of God. God gives us what we don't deserve. And as you are trying not to be weary in well-doing and you think back in times that you have failed God, don't forget verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. You know, Peter, when he denied the Lord, not once, not twice, but three times, and then God appeared to him in John chapter 21, and he had that meal and those coal of fires and they're sitting around there, and I just wonder what Peter was thinking in his heart. You know, he's like, oh, man, here's the risen Lord. And he probably thought back to hearing that rooster crow. But what did Jesus say to him? He said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? He asked him three times because he denied him three times. But then what did he say? Feed my what? Sheep. That's grace. He had a plan. See, did Peter mess up? Absolutely. But God had a plan for him and his life. And although in verse 13, be not weary in well-doing, we may have stopped doing well for whatever reason. But don't forget about verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And we have a gracious and good God to us to encourage us in not being weary in well-doing. Well, let's pray here this morning as we commit these matters to the Lord. Let's pray with me. Dear Lord, it's so easy to grow weary, God, in our Christian life. Lord, it's so easy to grow weary. The will that we will to do, we do not. And what we don't want to do, that's what we find ourselves doing. Lord, we're stuck in Romans chapter 7. But Lord, I'm glad there's Romans chapter 8 that encourages us, Lord, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord, that all things work together for good in Romans chapter 8. Lord, we as believers, I pray that we wouldn't be weary in well-doing. As we put our hand to the plow, we wouldn't look back. As this coming week, God, Lord, there's Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then the Lord's Day again. And God, this coming week, that each day we keep our priorities right, wouldn't carry around any unconfessed sins, and that, Lord, that we would walk with wise men, that we might be wise. Lord, we do depend upon your grace each day for us. So, Lord, help us toward that end. And we know that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it under the day of Christ. So, Lord, thank you for that. God, make us strong for your glory. Make us faithful for your honor of your holy name. And, Lord, help us not to be weary in well-doing, because we know in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.